Isaiah chapter 6 tonight. And I want to speak a message to you tonight from Isaiah chapter 6. And in Isaiah chapter 6, to begin with, in verse number 8, it says, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." And in the context of Isaiah chapter 6, we know that that is Isaiah responding to the call of God to go and preach the gospel and preach the message. The Lord says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." But you know, I believe that is also very much a prophetical passage of Scripture that speaks about God speaking with his Son and saying, "Who will go?" And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I will go." And so I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 6. I want us to go back to the first five verses tonight, and I want us to think about it from this point of view. I want to think tonight, and I want you to think tonight, about the fact that what the Lord Jesus Christ left when he went. So many times we think about Jesus Christ, that he came and he was born in Bethlehem. We think about how he went to the cross. But you know, I want us to think tonight about what Jesus Christ left for you and me. Because many times we aren't motivated to leave the comfort of our own home to go and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus Christ left more than you will ever experience down here to reach you. And so the title of the message tonight, "I left all of this for you." I left all of this for you. And so tonight we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 down through verse number 5. And we'll read them to begin with. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah is speaking here, and he saw a vision of the Lord in glory. And after that, the Lord says, "Whom shall I send and who will go?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." But you know, we can look at Isaiah 6 in verse 1 down through verse number 5, and we can stop, and we ought to stop and consider those five verses in regard to what Jesus Christ left to come to win your soul. Because he came to win your soul. He came to save you from your sin. And most times we very quickly and just briefly say, well, he left the splendor of glory. And we don't stop to really consider what that means. Look at verse number 1. The first thing we notice is the place that he left. Stop and consider this. Because many times I got to get up and I got to leave the comfort of my own house. And by the way, remember this as we look at this tonight, that when Jesus Christ left, he didn't leave for 1 hour or 2 hours. He left for 33 years. He left for his life. But first of all, the place. Look what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know, when you stop and consider, that's the place that the Lord Jesus Christ left. You stop and consider, you know, many times people go to different countries or they travel around. And one of the things people get impressed with or awed with as they go is these large cathedrals that are built in different places. And there's cathedrals all over the world that are just really large. And, and magnificent. And, you know, not a one of those cathedrals could compare with the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem. That was a temple that was built by Solomon because of the heart of David under the direction of the Lord. And yet even that temple that Solomon built, that when it was finished, the Shekinah glory of God came down and filled it to the point where they couldn't minister. Listen, even that temple itself cannot compare with what we see in Isaiah chapter 6. I want you to turn over to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And I want you to stop and consider, this is the place that Jesus Christ left to come and win your soul. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne of God, which are the 7 spirits of God. You understand tonight, that's the place that Jesus Christ left. That's the place that Jesus Christ left. In fact, in the book of Psalms, it says, when it speaks of the temple, it says, the heavens of heavens can't contain the Lord, can't contain God. And yet, first of all, Jesus Christ left this place from which there is no place on earth that can compare, can begin to compare with the very throne room of heaven. And he left that to come where? To come to an earth that was cursed by sin. To come to a place where for every blade of grass that grows, there's weeds. For every flower, there's plant, there's poison ivy and the thorns and thistles. For every little sparrow that flies and for every wild creature that you see, there's roadkill. I mean, just stop and think of what Jesus Christ left, where he left. He left the splendor of the glories of the very Father's home in heaven. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he left that place for you. He left that place for me. That's the first thing. But go back to Isaiah chapter 6 for a moment. Because not only did he leave a place, and there's, you know, I got to thinking as I was meditating on this today. You know, the Bible says that we want to have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. And I don't know all the details of heaven. I don't know all that's going to go on in heaven, and I don't claim to. But one of the thoughts that went through my head is this. When we get to heaven and we're going to look around and we're going to say, he left all of this for me. He left all of this for me. And you know what? If we don't leave some of the things that we are so comfortable with to reach the lost, boy, are we going to be ashamed when we get there. And we look around and said, he left all this for me. And I can't get up and leave the comfort of my earthly home to go reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, in Isaiah chapter 6, not only does it speak of a place, the place where Jesus left. But in verse number 2, this one is also, I would stop and consider this. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 20 he covered his face. With 20 he covered his feet. With 20 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Once again, turn over to the book of Revelation for a minute. The book of Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4, and I want to bring this out to your attention tonight. In Revelation chapter 4, it's speaking of the same thing. in Revelation chapter 4, it says, verse number 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, second beast like a calf, third beast had a face as a man, fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts, and each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within. And look what it says, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. But you know, it says of these cherubims, it says of these beasts, it says, they don't rest day and night. And day and night, in other words, every moment that Jesus Christ is there, every moment, these cherubims and these, every moment of time, they are repeating over and over and over again, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy. It's just a continual praise day and night, day and night, every moment. Think about that. Jesus Christ in the glories of heaven, in the temple of God in heaven, seated there, would hear over and over again. Just over and over again, continually, holy, holy, holy. He left that praise that was continual, that was just praised by these cherubims that just cried, holy, 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 to the point that the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. He left that place where all he heard was holy, 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 holy. Where did he come to for you and me? He came to a place where he heard everything but that. Just stop and think. He came to a place where they would stand there and they would mock him, where they would challenge him, where they would accuse him, where they'd scorn him, where they'd revile him, where they'd doubt him, where they'd question him. Just stop and consider that the Lord Jesus Christ left that place of praise to come to a place where he would hear all the filth and vileness and everything. Why? Why did he do that? Why did he leave that place? To win your soul. For you. And so number one, he left a place. Number two, we see the praise. But then go down to verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. My third point is the person that left. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God. And here it says, he's the King, the Lord of hosts. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that in all things he has preeminence. He's the King, the Lord of hosts, the King of glory. And he left that position. He left a place, the throne room in the temple. He left praise where he's hearing continually, holy, holy, holy. He left that position as the King, the Lord of hosts, to come and take upon him the seed of Abraham, made in the likeness of men, took upon him the form of a servant. He left that position to become a servant. But even more than that, he left that position as the King, the Lord of hosts, to come and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And I tell you what, if there was ever a phrase that that really doesn't do justice to what it means. That phrase right there, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I tell you what, Jesus Christ left his position as king to come and dwell amongst filthy, rotten scum, sinners. I mean, you just stop and think. He dwelt among men, all of sin. I mean, you go over to the book of Romans and you start reading how sinful man is described. In Romans chapter 3, it speaks of mankind and it says this. They are all gone out of the way in verse 12. They are together become unprofitable. None that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Jesus Christ left his position as king to come dwell amongst sinful man. Why? To win your soul. For no other reason but to win your soul. Is it any wonder why Jesus Christ has the right and the authority to put that claim on our life as his children, as people that are redeemed, that we ought to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Because this is what he left for you and me. He left all of this for you and me. He left the place where he was seated upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He left the praise where day and night, without ceasing, they were saying, holy, holy, holy. And he left his position as a king, the Lord of hosts, to become a servant, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. You know why? So that he could pluck you from the burning fires of hell. Zechariah chapter 3. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? You see, the reason why Jesus Christ left his temple, the reason why he left that place, the reason why he left the praise, the reason why he left his position is to pluck your soul from the fires of hell. And you know what he tells us over in the book of Jude? He tells us in the book of Jude, in verse 23, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of fire. You know, if you heard someone screaming across the street from your house and you looked out your window and you saw a house on fire and you heard screaming, I guarantee you'd get up out of your house and you'd leave the comfort of your couch and you would rush across that street with all the intensity and all the urgency that you could to do what you could to pull that person out of the fire. Well, Jesus Christ did that for you, so that he could win your soul. He left his place, he left the praise, and he left his position to pluck your soul from the fires of hell. And we ought to do the same for others. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Tonight, if you're listening and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, yet, listen, stop and consider what Jesus Christ left for you. He did all this for you. He would say, I left this, all of this I left to come and rescue your soul. Won't you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, tonight? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just believe. You believe that you're a sinner. You believe Jesus Christ died for you and is buried and rose again. And you ask God to forgive you of your sins and save your soul through Jesus Christ, and God has promised to do that. But Christian, won't you seriously consider and stop and think what Jesus Christ left for you to win your soul? Ought not we to be willing to leave our things to reach someone else with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.